Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. This podcast is brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank. Through good and tough times, you need a bank that will stand by you. Texas Citizens Bank gives Houston small and medium-sized businesses the resources they need to thrive. As one customer says, a huge thank you to our friends at Texas Citizens Bank. Great customer service and down-to-earth good people. Call 713-948-5700 to learn more today. My guest for this episode is Spencer Randall, principal and co-founder of CryptoEQ. Spencer joins me to discuss the ever-evolving world of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, as well as how CryptoEQ is growing and evolving to keep its users up to date. Spencer and I also chat about lessons learned from his seed round of funding and how he's playing the long game with search engine optimization to reach new audiences. Hi, Spencer. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Natalie.
So it's been about a year and a half since we've last chatted, and you're no stranger to the podcast. So for listeners who haven't heard of CryptoEQ or your episode a year and a half ago on the Houston Innovators podcast, tell us a little bit about your company and your background.
Yeah, so CryptoEQ is really built to be the North Star for digital asset research and information. We provide market insights for both newcomers and folks that are already well-versed in cryptocurrency and digital assets. And really the idea of the company is to help shepherd folks along and guide them on their crypto journey, whether it be fundamental research or trading signals or sentiment analysis. There's a lot that our platform offers to help guide people along their crypto journey.
So what was the original purpose that spark that really led you to co-found the company?
The initial catalyst was meeting with people in the Houston area to talk about cryptocurrency and digital assets. So we started building community first. And in hindsight, that really served as our market research and our kind of first customer interviews was that initial ideation as a crypto community that was helping each other learn about digital assets. So we were a community first even before we had the idea to launch a business. So the catalyst was this passion and thirst and curiosity for what was happening with digital assets back in early 2017.
So I know you've grown your user base a lot since we last spoke. So how has that been going for you? How have you been growing? And what's this past 18 months been like for you?
Yeah, it's really humbling to reconnect with you, about 18 months after, I think it was January 2020, pre-pandemic, we came together.
Pandemic.
a lot's changed in the world and a lot's changed to CryptoEQ. When we first did the Houston Innovators episode in January of 2020, we were at about 3,000 users and the team was much, much smaller. We were less than 10 people at the time. And now we're at 30,000 users, so we've grown a lot. And the team's tripled in size as well. Whether it's users, users have gone 10x, revenue's gone 10x, the team's tripled. So we've had a lot of growth. We've been very fortunate to have grown through the pandemic, we're excited about what's in the roadmap ahead.
How would you describe how the pandemic affected CryptoEQ? It sounds like it hasn't. I don't know if it's slowed down anything. What was the experience like for you?
We really viewed the pandemic, if you set aside the personal challenges, we really viewed the changes in the world as accelerating the changes in digital economy and digital infrastructure. We really think of it as the great accelerator. Mm-hmm. So you set aside all the personal challenges and how awful the health aspects of the pandemic were. From the perspective of a technology venture, it actually accelerated a lot of the changes that we were seeing in the world. And one of those changes that we got out in front of as a company are a shift to digital assets. In that sense, the pandemic really did accelerate the natural curiosity for people to want to learn about cryptocurrency and digital assets.
I think that's common, right? Like across industries, the acceleration of technology just nature of necessity. We're all trapped in our homes. We have to have some technology to work around the challenges, right? So I think that's interesting that you've observed that in your industry as well. So one of the things that you've also accomplished since we last spoke is raising some funds. So tell me a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, I share this term now in hindsight, investor fit, right? Venture investor fit. So something as a technology company that's talked about a lot is product market fit. So you're building this product to go serve users and people all around the world. And you think about how well does the product fit with the market need? But something that I didn't learn as much about through accelerators is, investor fit and venture investor fit, and how well of a fit a given investor may be for your venture. And so I found I started to gain a lot more traction with seed round capital when I was as intentional about the investor persona as we were about the customer persona for the product. So we started to build out and dream, what would our ideal investors look like in Crypto EQ? And when we started to be more intentional about that, we started to get much, much better results and traction. So I think the big shift for me as a co-founder raising money was being more intentional about raising the capital. Because I think when you're building a business and you're running really hard and fast, everything's flying around, everything's moving and changing so fast. And it seems like the kind of default for raising capital is just start talking to people that have funding. And that's just way too wide of a shotgun approach, in my opinion. And so that was a hard lesson learned for me, is developing out these investor personas and really being more targeted in your approach.
So where are you at in the funding process now? Are you looking to raise more? How's that going?
Our seed capital needs are closed. We're 100% focused on building the venture. And we may raise again in Q4 of 2021. But I'd like to circle back with the team and reevaluate at the close of Q3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. It's like one round closes, you already got to think about the next one. That's definitely something, yeah, I hear from entrepreneurs.
A joke I make sometimes is, it's people joke about politics is the once you're elected, your job is to ensure that you're reelected. I feel like it's a fair comparison and joke to make about fundraising. Once you've raised your round, you're planning how to raise the next one. We're actually focused more on building and delivering on everything that we've promised at this point in the year.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've seen some substantial revenue growth as well. So that will help put that next round a little further into the future if that keeps up too. So you're able to make that call, all things considered.
I feel like that's also another misconception I have when you start a venture. It seems like a lot of people default to raise money, raise money, raise money. I don't hear a lot of people talking about building a viable business that can, generate the cash flow needed to not only continue to build the team, but serve the team and the board that you've established, that you've built. So, it's refreshing to shift back to focus on building the business and not raising capital, because that's why we started the venture in the first place, was to serve the world. And fundraising is extremely strenuous and challenging. And it's very difficult to be in the business and work on the business and fundraise at the same time.
I do think that's something Houston entrepreneurs have more of a concept of, because I think if you, this is just, again, maybe I'm biased, I do only cover Houston entrepreneurs, but I do feel like a lot more entrepreneurs in Houston are thinking about that revenue and how do you build that versus going and finding venture. And I think it's also probably has to do with, founders are a little bit older in Houston. This is usually, they're founding multiple companies in their careers. That's just something I've observed. So I think it's interesting that, the startup concept in general is raise, raise, raise. But in Houston, I think we have some more earn, I guess, or revenue, driving that revenue.
Yes. Sharing that, lots of people popped into mind that are, that are in network that I've crossed paths with. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about cryptocurrency in general, because I think in a lot of ways, Bitcoin and crypto has blown up even more than you could have ever imagined when you founded the company. So what has that meant for growing your business, and how do you really keep up with it?
Yeah, I'd say the emphasis on organic user acquisition has really been a win-win with the public mainstream interest in crypto. Our primary means of user acquisition when we first met was social media. Mm-hmm. But actually, with the how important search engine optimization has grown and SEO, and you know, billions of people searching for crypto through Google now. We've seen a rise in SEO, and SEO has actually dominated our user acquisition strategy in recent months. So that's been a big change for us, is as we've grown, SEO becoming more dominant relative to social. Now, social is still a big part of what we do. And it's a very nice way to share what's going on with the venture, with the world. But search has dwarfed social in recent months. So that's been a big change as crypto has gotten more and more popular.
That's really interesting, actually. Do you have advice for startups that maybe want to look into SEO optimization and where to start? Because I'm sure that's a resource that people don't even think of. Like, I wouldn't have even thought of that for growing SEO.
Yeah, SEO is, and the first thing I would say is it's a long game. Think of it more like an investment. You could compare it to growing a social media account in the sense that you need to be genuine in the content and consistent in the content to grow the following. So to have Google really recognize and incentivize your content or product, you have to create genuine content that the world's interested in. And you have to lay those bricks one at a time to build that wonderful brick wall. And it can take months, sometimes years, to build up an effective SEO strategy. So my quick word of advice would be play the long game, whether it's social or SEO, and be genuine in the creation of the content. And if you're consistent, Google and social media will reward you over time.
Yeah, consistency and playing that long game, that's great advice. So something else with Bitcoin and maybe cryptocurrency in general, it's almost like there's a perception problem, you know, like I think you either are very in tune to what's happening in the cryptocurrency space, or maybe you don't and you have a great fear of it, which is exactly why CryptoEQ exists, to kind of help bridge that gap, I know. But how has the perception changed over, you know, the years of you really being involved in this space?
When we were first, you know, ideating on CryptoEQ, I think there's a lot of objections to crypto. And so I think a lot of people intellectually were just closed to the concept. They weren't very interested in learning more about it. And over time, we've seen that completely flip. And now I think that people are intellectually very open to the idea of cryptocurrency, and have gone from, you know, raising a lot of objections to more so asking a lot of questions, coming from a place of curiosity and want to know more and learn more. So that, I mean, you could see how the market and the public is starting to value a research platform, you know, more so in 2021 that's dedicated to crypto than, say, back in 2018 when we first, you know, launched the MVP.
Yeah, what's happened, I guess, it's a big question, but what's happened to really move the needle on that perception nationwide, internationally, that you've observed?
I would say leadership. So I would say that, you know, there's a lot of different personalities and personas that make up crypto adoption. You know, you've got your retail investors and traders, you've got your leadership in publicly held companies, you've got leaders of nations. And over time, people that are well respected within each domain have emerged to guide a new class, a new group of people into crypto. So I think it really did start with like the technologists, and then it moved to more the retail traders and investors. And then it moved to now, you know, in the past year, we've had CEOs of publicly traded companies come out and say that, you know, they're comfortable holding Bitcoin on their balance sheet. And then, you know, now in most recent months, you've had the president of El Salvador declare that Bitcoin is legal tender. So there's been this cascade, it's really been escalating, of adoption of digital assets, endorsement of digital assets. And it's very interesting to see all these different personas and types of people come together over one industry like this.
From a user experience point of view, how do you take these kind of major events and use it to grow your business and also provide your users the right type of tools, the right type of information following these types of news events?
Yeah, one thing we're really excited to launch this summer is sentiment analysis. So it's a new pillar of the platform at CryptoEQ.io. And we're calling this whole release, this whole new package, version 5. So it's the fifth build of the web app at CryptoEQ.io. And what it does is it helps aggregate and digest all the news for the user. So in the same sense that we help you conceptually wrap your head around what Bitcoin is, or from a technical standpoint, whether or not it's a good time to enter or exit the market, now we're digesting at scale social media posts from Reddit and Twitter, and also news headlines and articles into a simple aggregator and signal. So we're actually scraping the internet for you, reading the new news articles for you, and using machine learning and artificial intelligence to help guide you around what the sentiment is around the whole market and also each digital asset.
One thing, you know, I've also observed, not being heavily involved in the cryptocurrency space, but you can't go out and not hear about these altcoins that have emerged. So even I, a non-cryptocurrency expert, have seen that. So I want to ask you, a cryptocurrency expert, what your take is on these emerging new types of altcoins, as you termed them.
Yeah, so I don't want to throw, you know, all the altcoins out at once. You know, there are some good altcoins, but I would say, you know, roughly 99% of the industry is very speculative. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, CryptoEQ, we really focus on finding the blue chips. And so I would say very few of the digital assets you see in the headlines are what we would call blue chips. And the easiest one to point out would be Dogecoin. And Dogecoin really started as a joke. And it's responsible in some way as an altcoin because it never claimed to be more than it is, right? If it started as a joke. But it's a good one to point out because it really went dormant in the bear market. So in the 2018, 2019, early 2020, there really was no fundamental development on the project. It's very dormant. And so all because one social media influencer and you know, globally recognized name like Elon Musk takes an interest in it, it's almost like it matters because the market cares. And it's possible that the technology behind that project in Dogecoin could be revived, almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. But if you look under the hood, the nuts and bolts of it today, you know, Dogecoin is not what we would consider an investment grade crypto or an investment grade digital asset. And when you put the work in like we do, you really are concerned when you see people more interested in something like Dogecoin, in overlooking and skipping past really the blue chips of the industry like Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Yeah, that's kind of what's terrifying about cryptocurrency to me, is that it can be nothing into something just by a tweet, right? Or like a mention or something. Yeah. By somebody like Elon Musk, which is terrifying, but maybe cool. I don't know.
Double-edged sword, because yeah, the technology is decentralized and allows you to deploy something new very fast. Mm-hmm. But in the it's a tool, and in the wrong hands, it can be very damaging to the individual and the public. So we have to be careful.
Yeah. But I think that also reemphasizes the need for something like CryptoEQ to exist, to be kind of a pillar in this ever-changing world of cryptocurrency. So for people listening who either are like me and have very little concept of cryptocurrency and need all of the guidance in the world to experts and really active investors, is that the space for everyone? Is CryptoEQ a space for everyone on every kind of level?
The more we've grown, the more inclusive we've been able to be. So we started more as for the intermediate to advance. But especially in recent years, we've been able to and have had the resources to build out more user-friendly content. It's something else that we're very excited about to release actually this week is the Crypto Starter Pack. Which we've developed in partnership with the Canon, which is another Houston company. And you know, we go way back and have a lot of roots at the Canon. We actually started building CryptoEQ at the original location of the Canon. So it's really cool to come full circle and build out a crypto starter pack with the Canon team. So that's something that we're excited to release this week, actually. Mm-hmm. So to, you know, to answer your question, the more resources we've been able to develop, the more resources we've been able to share with the world, whether you're a newcomer or somebody that's more advanced.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's really been fun for me to watch you and CryptoEQ grow, not only the company, but also your work Houston-wide, right? So you do work with Lilly at Rice University. So tell me a little bit about your experience with that organization and what you're able to accomplish.
Yeah, so the RAEI Roundtable Program, that's the Lou Idea Lab program. It's really geared towards a peer-to-peer network for entrepreneurs that are in the Rice alumni network. And it's really hard to separate CryptoEQ from the roundtables because CryptoEQ actually led me to the roundtables. And when I started CryptoEQ with the team, I was really looking to get out of, you know, my own personal network because I didn't know a lot of entrepreneurs. And so, you know, the roundtables really found a tribe of entrepreneurs. And I started as a volunteer and quickly became a member and a chair. And a chair is someone that kind of leads, you know, one tribe of entrepreneurs, about 10 people on a round table. And over time, I really just couldn't get enough of the network because we were talking shop about entrepreneurship on a monthly cadence, and it was invaluable to our business. And I stayed with it just like I did CryptoEQ. And I've been with the Roundtable program for now 3 years, and I've worked with Rice leadership to actually establish a formal position as a Roundtable director. So we've actually been able to double the roundtables in the past year from about 100 or so folks to now more than 200 Rice entrepreneurs. And it's been fun. And I think that we were able to do that in a time when people needed it the most. Is during the pandemic is when a lot of businesses were struggling, their backs were against the wall. And that's when a program, you know, that's peer-to-peer and sharing resources is going to thrive and help the most people. So we showed up in a big way for Rice and the Rice family, and really, really blessed and fortunate to be a part of that program.
How can your fellow Rice alumni turned entrepreneurs get involved with that?
Yeah, it's ricealumni-ei.com. And so that'll be the RAEI chapter. That's not just for entrepreneurs, it's for innovators as well. I mean, you could be an entrepreneur at a corporation and still tap into RAEI. And then the roundtables is a subset within RAEI. And it's all there on the website. It's ricealumni-ei.com.
Yeah, great. That's probably very helpful. I'm sure a lot of people didn't even know it exists, and that's a valuable resource to tap into. So for you, I know, you know, Houston based, and you're obviously tapped into the Rice University Network and the Canon. How have you seen the Houston innovation ecosystem really evolve as you've been a part of it and growing with it, right?
It's growing. And I find myself, you know, now that I invest a lot of my time in Houston, in the Houston entrepreneurship ecosystem, when I hear the misconception you know, from people that are out of state or even within Texas about Houston, I'm quick to jump in and share facts on how we're growing. And I think it's just to throw in another joke, the way people kind of look at Texas is a place where you still ride around on your horse and you wear your cowboy hat all the time. I think that people still see Houston in that light in an entrepreneurship sense. And there's a lot that's happened in the past 10 years. A lot of people pouring their careers in this industry here in Houston. And I think that, you know, similar to what we were talking about with SEO, but we're playing the long game and we're staying consistent. And, you know, Houston is one of the largest cities in the country, if not the world. And it's only a matter of time.
I would love to go for a horse ride. That's definitely not a thing in my life at all. Would have been, I would love that, but no, it's not. Yeah.
Can you imagine taking a horse down 610?
No, I can't. But like on my street, a little prance around. Yeah, that sounds fun. 610, absolutely not. But that would be wild. No, there's way more traffic in Houston than there are horses. Well, this has been really great to catch up with you and to discuss some of the things happening in cryptocurrency and, of course, all of the growth that CryptoEQ has had. So thank you so much for joining me.
And thank you for all that you do for the Houston entrepreneurship ecosystem. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.